This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
You guys ready to receive? And, you know, we're in this series called Roadblocks. But before we go there, you know, I just want to pray for the people in the surrounding area in the light of what it is that's going on. You know, I guess just to update you guys, we checked on everybody that's a part of our family, the church family, you know, and there was no one that was directly affected, their property. And now we have some extended relationships that we've reached out to, and we're in the process of you know, we've basically shared with them, hey, we're available. So in these weeks, days and weeks to come, I'm going to continue to keep the line of communication open with these people that have been directly affected. And if there's any way that we can be involved, I just want you to know we'll communicate that with our church, you know. And so there's a couple individuals, and then there's also a church up in Minden, Harvest Alliance, that we know Pastor Kurt, and I've been in contact with him. And so we'll be keeping you posted on that. But in the meantime, we're just going to pray for them here before we get started. Amen. Father, we just lift up these people in all of Southwest Iowa, those that we know and those that we don't know that have been affected by these storms, Father. And we pray, Father God, that in this time that they would look to you. We thank you, Father God, that you're giving them a peace that passes all understanding, that guards their heart and their mind, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that as they work through these situations, I just thank you that they'll have favor to bring back and restore what it is that they had before. We thank you, Father, for your hand of blessing upon their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I just want to just review here a little bit. We here a few weeks ago, we started a series called Overcoming Roadblocks. How many of you guys have been overcoming some roadblocks in your life? You know, whether you realize it or not, sometimes we come up against roadblocks and we travel down roads and sometimes we feel like it's an inconvenience. Sometimes it's a nuisance. Sometimes it's, we got to turn around and go back. You know, but you know, no one really likes them, but in the first week, we determined that they're going to come. In the book of James, we looked at chapter 1, and if you want to go there this afternoon and look at that or sometime, that they're inevitable. The roadblocks of life, they're going to come. And some great things that we learned in that first week is that we learned five things that will keep us, you know, stationary and blocked, but we also learned five things that will help us to move past that. You know, you want to turn this down just a bit. Feels a little bit hot. I don't know if you guys in here are like, wow, that's really loud. So John 10:10 says, and this is our key text, is that my purpose, and this is Jesus's purpose for coming to this earth, for you and for me, is to give us a rich and a satisfying life. A lot of times we want to focus on the rich side of it, like the money side of it. But the reality of it is that rich, being rich in life isn't necessarily connected directly to money. A rich life can be a rich life in relationships, a rich life in the things that we enjoy. And that's what he came to give us. And so his purpose is that we would have an abundant and a rich and a satisfying life. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience that. If you've had suffered loss and challenges in your life, I'm here today to tell you that you can overcome, by the word, those challenges and those things, those hurts, those failures, those things in life that are holding you back from really living that satisfying life that he came to give you. And so, you know, we looked at that in week one. Last week, we looked at the fact that there is no blessing in unbelief. So if you're not convinced and you're walking and living a Christian life in unbelief, and by that I mean you may not know the word and how it is that it applies to your life. And if you don't know, then you're walking in unbelief. And that will absolutely be a roadblock in moving past what it is that may be going on in your life. And so it's just imperative that we understand what his word has to say, and when we fix our unbelief, we can move past it. And so today, some new content that I want to talk about here is firstly found in 2 Peter 2:9. You know, and I know that you all want to move past. I want to move past. How many of you guys know there's not anyone in here that is just free sailing down the road and doesn't have issues? How many of you guys know we all have things that we got to work on, things that we want to change? The Lord wants to help us to overcome those things. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be changed and transformed. Did you know that? We didn't just come here to check something off of our list. We came here today because there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to change you. He wants to help you. And you may be thinking in your mind, there's no way that I can overcome this. I'm here today to tell you, you can overcome that thing that's in your life. He didn't give his life for no reason at all. No, he gave his life so that we could have a rich and an abundant and a satisfying life. But 2 Peter says this. It says in verse 19, it says that they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. You're a slave to what it is that controls you. And what we have to understand is that Jesus came and he broke the power of sin and sin over our lives. So we don't have to live a life where we are controlled by sin. But the point that I want to bring out of this scripture is the fact that what controls us is we become a slave to. What controls our life is something that we serve. So maybe if you're a person of anger and you are controlled by your anger, you are a slave to anger. Right? If you are a person that you spend a lot of your time chasing dollars and money and accumulating wealth, you are controlled by that money. So in turn, you are a slave to that. There are other things, you know, when it comes to the works of the flesh that maybe publicly you may not see, but internally you as a person, you know those things in life that control you. Right? When somebody says something to you, you may respond a certain way, and it might be a habitual response that happens. Guess what? You're controlled by that response. But and so I just want you to know that there's freedom from that which controls you. There's freedom from that thing that has maybe controlled you for a long, long time. We'll see it today that we don't have to be controlled by these works of the flesh, because we don't want to be a slave to them, and Jesus paid the price so that we wouldn't have to. So what controls you? Maybe you're a person there and you're controlled by fear. Maybe you're controlled by worry, anxiety, depression. Maybe you're a person that's controlled by nervousness, critical mindset, a judgmental mindset. Maybe you're an opinionated person. Maybe it's money spending, what others think of you. But you need to realize that the roadblock that you face very well could be what it is that you are allowing to control you. Now you might be thinking to yourself, no, wait a minute, I'm not allowing this. No, yeah. You know, we have power over that anger. We have power over unforgiveness. You know, we have power over these things that we hold on to. And we the things that we allow to control us. Jesus broke that power. And if you say, I can't help it, you don't understand what the Word of God has to say. And if you're a child of God and you're saved and you know Him as your Lord and Savior, He's given you the power, the ability, and the strength to overcome that thing that controls you. It's just a matter of taking your place as a believer and saying, you know what? You don't have the right to control me in this. I'm not giving in, and I'm not allowing myself to do this. I almost went off on this today for this message, but this week when I was looking at some scriptures, I was looking in Colossians, and there's the word let kept popping up in a lot of these scriptures that I kept reading. Let not, let your heart be full of peace. You know, let not fear. You know, all these things, and I was like, wait a minute, let. That's on me. That's my responsibility. Like he's saying, let your heart. So I have a choice in the matter, like what I'm going to allow myself to let in. Am I going to let in the fear? Am I going to let in the anxiety? Am I going to let myself respond? Am I going to let my mind go down that trail and continue to go down that trail? So we play a part in that, I guess is what I'm getting at. And so the question though that I want you guys to really think about is what it is. What is it that I am controlled by? And I just want you to know today that you can break that control in your life. And when you do, I believe that you'll be able to move past that roadblock that is in your life. And so today we're going to look at the life of Joseph, because man, how many of you guys know Joseph had a few roadblocks in his life? I mean, wow, man, when you study out his story, it is challenging. It's challenging. It was challenging to me because I'm like, man, I don't know if I would have responded the way that he did in this. And so there's so many great just principles that we can pull out of this story, you know. And if you remember, and you can turn to Genesis 37. We're going to read all five chapters from now until the end. No, I'm just joking. I would never do that to you. But I will refer to a few as we go along because I just want to pull some things out. But in Genesis 37, what we see is that Joseph is about 17 years old, and the Lord gives him two dreams. And I think that just in his young age and just his immaturity, he shared these two dreams with his brothers and his dad. And man, they were not happy, because basically in these dreams, his family was bowing down to him. And so it kind of strained things, made things a little bit jealous. But look at what it says here in Genesis 37, 13. It says, your brothers are in the pasture, pasturing the sheep in Shechem. Now this is his dad speaking to him. He says, get ready, I will send you to them. And look at what Joseph's response was. I am ready to go. Now, I just want to point this out before we kind of move down through this, is that his dad was saying, get ready, I will send you. And his response was, I am ready. You know, and I believe that the Lord today, that he is saying, get ready. Get ready. I'm getting ready to move you past a roadblock in your life. I'm getting ready to do something new in your life. I'm getting ready to change you. I'm getting ready to transform you. I'm getting ready to do something different in your life that you got to believe me. And the question is, are you thinking to yourself like Joseph, I'm ready? Or you're like, that'll be the day. I hope that you are expecting, because I believe that God wants to do something in your life. Just as Joseph's dad said, hey, get ready, I'm gonna send you. He's sending you. As a believer, he's sending you out into this world. He's saying, I've got something for you. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. There's somebody that I want you to reach and somebody that I want you to speak into their life. Are you ready? Our response needs to be like Joseph. Man, I'm ready. I'm ready for that change, Lord. But here's the thing. There's going to be some things that he asks us. He's going to require of us. He's going to challenge us in. Amen. You guys are ready for that. You guys are excited. I can see it on your faces. I'm going to send you. I'm going to ask some things of you, and I'm going to require some things. Are you ready? Joe's attitude was, sorry. I'm going to call him Joe for the rest of the day. I'm not referring to Joe over here. I'm not talking to Joe over here. I'm talking about Joe in the Bible. But Joe, are you ready? And his attitude was, man, I'm ready. I'm ready. And that's the attitude that we need to have. See, today, that God had a plan for Joe's life. And it didn't necessarily have the path that maybe he thought it did. And the same thing is true for you and I. There's a path that he has for us. And sometimes I think in our minds, oh, it's just going to be a glorious path. It's just easy. And we get there and it's got flowers and everything's just, you know, great. Not necessarily the case. No, we have to learn some things, and there's some challenges that we're going to come up against. How many of you guys know the enemy does not want you to walk in the fullness of this satisfying life, right? He's going to challenge you in getting there. He doesn't want you to have the revelation on the inside of you that you are an ambassador of Christ. He doesn't want you to have the revelation on the inside of you that you are a conduit of his blessing to those that are around you. He doesn't want that. So he's going to work against you in your mind and in circumstances, and he's going to challenge you because he's trying to keep you from walking that path of being an effective believer for him. Amen? And so So we see in Joe's life that he took off as his dad said, hey, go, get ready to go. I'm sending you. He takes off and he goes and he's heading out to where his brothers are and he looks for them and he asks them questions and he finds them. But when he's afar off, it said that his brothers schemed against him. How many of you guys have ever had somebody scheme against you? You find out, it's like, whoa, wow, they're scheming against me. Well, they schemed against Joseph and they said, hey, let's betray him. And so the first thing in your life that you're going to have to overcome is betrayal. I mean, if you guys have ever been betrayed by somebody that was close to you in your life, that you thought that they were close, you thought that they were a person of their word, and they betrayed you. Well, guess what? We've all been betrayed. Jesus, he was betrayed by the people that were closest to him. But thank God he did not let that betrayal affect what it was that he was called by God to do. And the same thing is true for Joseph, is that he did not allow this betrayal to overcome him. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt, right? I'm sure that he wanted to retaliate. I'm sure that he was mad and he was upset, but he, again, I take you back to what it is that we talked about before. He didn't allow it to control him. He didn't allow the betrayal of his brothers and his, you know, in that situation to control his life. And so, you know, unfortunately, he gets betrayed and they sell him off to these traitors, and these traitors take him on this 1 month journey to Potiphar's house, and he ends up getting sold to Potiphar, who was basically just a leader in the land of Egypt, you know. And so it's like, man, this, it goes from bad to worse, right? He goes from being, you know, a servant of his dad, loved by all those around him, serving his dad and being close to family, to being a servant or a slave in some other man's house in a land that wasn't even his land. You know, and so how many of you guys have ever had a challenge in your life that went from bad to worse? Anybody in here? It's like you're believing God and it's like, wait a minute. That was bad before and now it's worse. Well, guess what? You're in the same company as Joseph, but he did some things. He had a different attitude. He just made some adjustments in his heart, and he's like, you know what? I'm not going to be controlled by this. Let's look at what he did here. It says in 39 verse 2, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. He succeeded in everything that he did as he served in the home of an Egyptian master. So when your situation or your predicament or whatever it is that's blocking you goes from bad to worse, you got to remember, God's with me. He's with me. Yes, this has gone from bad to worse, but you know what? God is with me. I think what's interesting about this is that Joseph, he didn't park by the hurt. He didn't park by the betrayal. He didn't park by the feeling. He's just like, you know what? I'm not gonna sit here and just, you know, sulk and complain and feel sorry for myself. No, I'm going to move on. And I notice here in this verse that as he served, that kind of stuck out to me as we read it. Because as he served, look what it says here verse 4 and 5, it says that Potiphar noticed this and he realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did, and this pleased Potiphar. Can you believe that? A man that was not a man of God saw some things in him. He noticed him. He realized him. He gave him success. And he put him in charge of the entire household. And so from the day that Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless not only Joseph, but he began to bless Potiphar's house. And so that is a testament of God's power and ability. That I think that in sometimes when we are betrayed and we feel hurt and all of these things, we think, well, where are you, God? And we minimize God's ability to do something in the matter. And we see here firsthand, he not only blessed Potiphar, or he not only blessed Joseph, but he blessed Potiphar. So you might be working for somebody that doesn't know God, that doesn't follow God, may be a dishonest person and may not, you know, but he can bless that employer that you work for. He can bless and he can work in that situation regardless of what it is that's going on. So instead of being controlled by betrayal and hurt, Joseph served. So in your notes, when you serve, you succeed. That's what that shows me, man, is that when you serve, you succeed. And you might say, well, Joseph had no choice in the matter. Well, the principle is that he could have been, I guarantee you that if his attitude was wrong and he was being controlled by this betrayal and by this hurt, he would have had an attitude. How many of you guys have ever had an attitude? Something doesn't go your way, you know, maybe you're in the drive-thru and they don't get your order quite right and you pull out and you find out and you, right? Anybody ever do that? Somebody pulls in front of you on your drive to work and they cut you off. Your attitude comes out. It's seen. I guarantee you, Joseph, if he would have had an attitude, Potiphar would have seen there's something wrong with that man. He is bitter. There's something that has happened, but it didn't. It says that he saw favor on this man. He saw God's blessing on his life, and the same thing is true for you. When you serve, you succeed. When you serve God, you succeed. When you serve your spouse, your kids, others, the church, right? When you serve with your money, when you serve with your time, your talent, your ability, when you serve with what it is that God has given unto you, you succeed. So it's not, don't just leave it in, well, I served in the NTP, or I served in the kids department, or I served as an usher. It's so much more broad than that. We can serve him in every area of our life. The question is, are we? And when we do, when we serve, we succeed. The three things that I kind of pulled out of this is that the three things that we see serving brings in the life of Joseph is success, recognition, and promotion. And the same thing is true for you. You might feel like you are stuck in a dead-end job, and your attitude is going down, down, down. I would encourage you to put into play the principles that we see right here in Genesis 37, 38, and 39. Because the reality of it is just like Joseph, and God worked and brought him and promoted him and brought him the success, he'll do the same thing in your life. If you'll just begin to trust him, begin to say, you know what? This boss, this leader, this whoever it is that I work for, they are not my source. He's my source. I'm looking to you, Lord. And when you do, he will promote you. He'll bring you success. He'll bring you everything that you need when you look to him. But I think a lot of times we just don't. We don't look to him. We're looking to the situation and we're getting upset about it. But we have to avoid being controlled by how we feel in the situation. So when temptation, I totally skipped ahead here. James, or Jesus said in regards to serving that the greatest is the one that serves. So Joe had all the success running Potiphar's house with the responsibilities came authority, and things went smoothly. And Potiphar's wife saw Joe's success and she began to pursue a relationship with him. If you guys remember that, Potiphar's wife, you know, Joseph was a good looking guy, right? So she starts coming on to him and looking to him and propositioning him and wanting a relationship with him. And Joe had to face temptation. That's number two in your notes. We have to overcome temptation. What will you do when temptation comes? Now listen, don't sit there and tell me that temptation does not come to you, okay? I was in Dollar General a week ago. And I love zebra cakes. Ask Scott, ask Aaron. And I realized, my goodness, I haven't had a zebra cake in a long time. So I walked over to the aisle because, you know, I've been, you know, showing restraint and controlling my flesh. And I was like, you know what? I deserve a zebra cake. So I walked over there and they had a special edition, Mother's Day. I didn't buy it for my wife, I bought it for me. These were strawberry shortcake zebra cakes. Special edition, they only make them right now. Unfortunately, there wasn't any more on the shelf, otherwise I would have stocked up. But besides that, what are you gonna do when temptation comes? Don't look at me, you're gonna judge me. Don't worry about my zebra cake addiction, you worry about you. What will you do when temptation comes? Joe refused. You read that whole scripture, he refused. The question is do you refuse? If you find yourself giving in and you continue to be enslaved. I take you back to what it is. Whatever it is that we are controlled by, we are a slave to. So what we do when we come into a time of temptation dictates whether or not we're controlled. 2 Peter 10 says in another version, in the Amplified version, it says, but whatever anyone is defeated and overcome, to that person, that thing, that philosophy or that concept, he is continually enslaved. I don't want to be continually enslaved, and I hope that you don't either. And but what we do when the temptation comes, now we can't just say, you know, well, I'm just going to let God take care of this temptation. No, there's an action that we have to take when temptation comes. And when you look at what it is that Joseph did, he overcame the temptation. Look what it says in Genesis 39:10. It says that she kept pressuring Joseph day after day, but he refused. He refused. So what will you do when the pressure, what will you do when the temptation comes? And I think sometimes that this pressure and this temptation, you know, in this context, it was adultery, right? He was being tempted with adultery. And in my context, it's being tempted with zebra cakes. You know, they're like on opposite ends of the spectrum. And it's like, we wanna categorize temptation. But the reality of it is that what is it that we're doing with temptation? How are we handling, you know, consistent temptation and pressure? Maybe it's you're consistently responding a certain way. Maybe you're consistently reacting a certain way. Maybe you're consistently behaving or holding on to, or maybe you're holding on to bitterness or hate or unforgiveness. You know what it is. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps you to see that thing that is controlling you, that thing that you're holding on to, that temptation that it comes and you're tempted to do it and you fail and you sin and then you repent and then it comes again. It comes again. And that's my heart is that those temptations, those pressures that you face, that you can overcome them and recognize, wait a minute, this is it. This is the test. I'm going to overcome this temptation. I'm going to overcome this pressure because I know that just like Joseph overcame the temptation, he overcame the pressure. God was able to move him to that great place that he had given him a dream of. The same thing is true for you as a believer. You've got to overcome the temptation. And so, you know, I think for Joe, the difference was is that Joe focused His focus was on not sinning against God. Because when you look at it, it's like, you know, he said, you know, this is my master, but I would never want to sin against my God. It wasn't about the position. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the accolades. It wasn't about any of that. I'm just afraid of losing this stuff. No, his heart was, I don't want to sin against God. And that needs to be our heart. So if there's something, a temptation or a pressure that is being applied to your life and you don't know how to deal with it and you don't know, you know, how to have victory over it, what you need to do is you need to sow into your heart and mind that you don't want to sin against your God. Your ultimate goal in life should be to please your Heavenly Father. And then when those times of pressure and temptation come, whether in marriage or finances or work or life, you just say, how would this please my Heavenly Father? Would this please God, the way that I'm about to respond? Would the way that I have always respond, would that please him? No, it doesn't please him. And so when that temptation and pressure comes, that's how you answer it. This doesn't please my Father, so I'm not going to respond this way. So whether you're tempted in what you say, what would this please him? Would this please him? Would this please him? That's the question that you can ask yourself. So in order to please him, doing what he instructed us to do is what's most important. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. Obeying him in every single area of your life. And I'll tell you what, your conscience is your guide. You know, in life and in temptations and pressures that come to you, you have to listen and be sensitive to what it is that your conscience is saying you have made a mistake, you have to quickly repent, you have to quickly, you know, seek that person out that maybe you sinned against them. But man, when your conscience is like, man, this isn't right. This would not please my Heavenly Father. You have to say, nope, I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to deny this. I'm going to, in Joseph's situation, he ran. He ran from that. You know, and another thing to encourage you in this is it found in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. Did you know that? Every single person that's sitting in here, we all experience temptation. And God is faithful in the temptation. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, get this, he'll show you a way out. He'll absolutely give you a way out in your life. You just have to look for it. You have to look to him. You have to depend on him. You have to ask him. You have to say, Lord, you know, this response or this way of thinking or this way of talking, this thing that I'm constantly pressured in, Father, I need a way out. And he'll give you a way out. That way out may be something that you need to do. It might be a scripture that he gives to you, and it will be what it is that you need to see your way out. And, you know, it goes on to say, so my dear friends, flee. Sometimes when it comes to pressures and temptation, it's just, you just have to flee. You have to get yourself out. If you look at Joseph's life, he constantly avoided. It actually says that in a New Living Translation comment, that he avoided this woman. She's putting pressure, she's tempting, and he avoided. Some of us in here, if there's something that you're losing the battle to, you need to start avoiding it. Avoid it. Say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to that place. I'm not going to that place on my phone, or I'm not going to that place and, you know, I'm avoiding it because I don't want to give in to the temptation. Joe refused, he avoided, and ultimately he ran from temptation. Joe did what was right, and he still took the fall. Isn't that amazing? He did what was right in the sight of God, and he still took the fall. And in life, jobs, marriage, relationships, there's going to be times where you do what's right, and you still take the fall. Just the way it is. Just like Joseph, falsely accused, lied about, taken advantage of, cast in a bad light, and overlooked. I think all of us in here have had that in our lives. And again, it's our response. Our response in the moment is huge. And the problem is that we don't like being on the receiving end of these things. So we attempt to vindicate ourselves. But that's not what Joseph did. He didn't try to vindicate himself. He's like, you know what? I can't sin against my God. And he was falsely accused and he was put in the prison. And so number three is we have to overcome being accused. Or we have to overcome being falsely accused. You know, a lot of times when we're accused, we want to retaliate and say, it's not fair, I don't deserve this. After all I've done, how could you do this? And the list goes on. But Psalms 135:14 says that the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. So even in false accusation, look what it says here in Genesis 39:21. The Lord was with Joseph. Isn't this amazing? Even in all these tough times, the Lord was with him. In the prison, he showed him a faithful love, and the Lord made Joseph a favorite within the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. And get this, the Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. So even in the midst, guys, of being falsely accused, even in the midst of temptation, even in the midst of all of these, you know, maybe there's these tough circumstances don't necessarily absolutely pertain to you, but no matter what it is that you're going through, you need to understand the same fact that in the midst of your problem, God is with you. He's with you and wants to see you through it. And so, you know, when it comes to being falsely accused, God's at work. But I think sometimes we don't think that way. We don't think that way. I think about, you know, when we were younger, my mom cut our hair. And the one thing that my brother and I argued about was who was gonna go first. I mean, we argued, we fought, and my mom simply shut it down with a simple, let's draw straws response. Have you guys ever draw straws, right? So she'd get out her little thing, go like this, and you know. There's like four, and we'd have to pick one, and whoever had the shortest straw had to go. Now, I'm not going to say, my responses weren't the best, right? When I drew the short straw, So it wasn't fun, man. You're just weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, you fall on the floor. Ah, I don't want to go first. Guess what? You're going first. That's what she said. Get up here, you know? And that's sometimes our response when we get the short end of the stick in life, right? We just do. We have a tendency to complain. Why, God? Where are you? You know, but not Joe. In prison, he showed himself faithful. He showed him favor. He showed him and put him in charge, and the Lord was with him. And so, you know, when you feel like you're in prison, maybe today you feel like you're in prison, I'm here today to tell you, he can show himself faithful in your life. He can give you favor, and he will be with you. So what is it? What is it that's controlling you? The hurt, the pain, the betrayal, the false accusation. What controls you determines whether you move past it. And so here we see Joe, he's stuck down in this prison, man, running the show. And then there's a butler and a baker. And they show up, and the butler and the baker, they get thrown down there because the Pharaoh was mad at them. And they have these dreams. And Joe, you know, basically interprets these dreams. And he tells the butler, he's like, hey, don't forget me when you get out of here. Please don't forget me. I'm down here. You know, just remember, put in a good word, help me get out of here, you know. But what happened, man? The baker, he forgot about him. For 2 years. 2 years he was forgotten. And so number four is this: we have to overcome being forgotten. You may feel forgotten. And I'm sure he thought to himself, this is unbelievable. For everything I did for you, I interpreted your dream and you forgot me. And I'm sure that he thought to himself, Lord, this was your opportunity. This was your opportunity to get me out of here. You could have worked through this butler to get me out of here. But it tells us to not put faith in man. That's what that tells us. That in our life, when these tough things are going on, we have to overcome being forgotten. And we have to overcome the tendency that we sometimes have to put our faith in man. Because no matter what the situation is, if we'll just continue to look to him, God will move. And so 2 years later, he moved. And so when it comes to this, in closing, I just got a few things I want to share with you. Just some 3 points that you know, when it comes to dealing with betrayal, when it comes to dealing with temptation, pressure, being accused and being forgotten, we just have to determine, you know what? I'm not going to be controlled by these things. I'm not going to allow these things to win in my life. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get it perfect every time. That's not the point of it. The point of it is it's like, you know what? I'm going to win. I may have lost that battle, but I'm coming back and I'm going to win. And I'm going to move past this roadblock and I'm going to move on to what it is that God has called me to. And so, you know, when it comes to this idea of being controlled, James 3 was a verse that really kind of came to me, and it's found in verse 13. It says that, get this, if you are wise and you understand God's ways, prove it. So as believers, we are admonished to be wise and understand. So as believers, if we want to move past what it is that's going on in our life, there has to be godly wisdom. There has to be godly understanding in our life. And then once we have that, then we take the next step and we prove it. And we say, you know what, I've got what it takes. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility. I think that this really embodies the life of Joseph. It says doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom, but if you are bitterly jealous, so this is the opposite, right? This is just, it's just the reflection of if we are wise and understand, if we are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition, get this, in our heart. And really, that's what it boils down to. What is it that's in your heart? If your heart is to please him just as it was Joseph, your heart is to have understanding. Your heart is to have wisdom, and then you prove it out. But if your heart is filled with jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness and all of those things, you're going to have a tough time moving past your roadblock. And so it goes on. It says, don't cover it up with truth, with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not of God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and unspiritual and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and every evil work are roadblocks, right? And so, but wisdom is far above, is first is pure, it's full of peace, loving, gentle, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy, full of good deeds, and it shows no favoritism. And then lastly, in verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's a great verse of scripture. So if you're struggling with what it is that I'm talking about today, that's a great verse of scripture to just kind of live in and meditate on and think about. Because it's like, if you want things to change and maybe you're just challenged with temptation and betrayal and being forgotten and all these things, it's like, I don't understand any of it. And I can't say that I have the answer for it specifically, but God does, and he can help you move past it. You just have to make a decision in your heart, right down on the inside, that, you know what? I'm gonna forgive that person that did me wrong. I'm gonna forgive that person that betrayed me. I'm gonna let go of the past. I'm gonna let go of what it is that happened to me in the past, because I believe that God wants me to move on. I know that in my past I've sown some seeds of discord and strife and some of these things, and I'm reaping the benefit of that here, which is not a benefit. But I'm gonna begin to sow seeds of peace and love and forgiveness in this relationship or in my family. And as a result, we'll reap that harvest of righteousness. And so two things here as we close, and that is, Pharaoh was disturbed in a dream, and the butler finally remembered old Joseph down there in the prison. And look what it says in Genesis 41:16. It is beyond my power. So what happens is Joseph comes up, he's standing before Pharaoh, and he's like, the Pharaoh has this dream that just totally messes with him. And this is Joseph's response. He says, it is beyond my power to do this. Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. So number one, two things that we can do that help Joe and will help you. Humbly admit that you can't do it on your own. Humbly admit it. I think that that's really what embodied Joe's life, was that he was humbly admitting to the fact that it's like, you know what, Pharaoh, I can't tell you what this dream means, but he can. And that was his heart. I don't want to sin against you, and I know I can't do this on my own. I know there's been times where I've looked unto men, but here I am standing before you, and look what God has done in my life. And so just as I am right here before you right now, I can't do this on my own, but God can give you an answer, and he did. You know, look at what it says in James 4:10. Those that humble themselves before the Lord, he will lift them up, and he will honor them. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Man, what great encouragement when we face these things in life, these tough situations, these challenges, these roadblocks, these things that we really want breakthrough in them. But it's like, we just have to say, you know what? I'm gonna humble myself before you, Lord. I'm gonna cast the care of this on you. It may not be in my timing. It may not be how fast I think it should be, but bless God, I'm looking to you. I'm gonna cast my care onto you, knowing that you're at work in this situation. And it says that in due time, he'll exalt you. He'll raise you up. You'll move through that thing, that roadblock, that thing that you think is impassable. He'll do that work. So we have to cast our care on him. We always see that God revealed what would happen. You know what's funny about it is that Joseph had two sons, and he had two names for them, and one of them was that meant forgot his troubles, and his other son, which I couldn't pronounce, it made him fruitful in the midst of challenge. That to me is amazing, that through all of these 17 years of challenge in Joseph's life, and you guys remember the rest of the story, he told Pharaoh this dream, and Pharaoh instantly put him second in command, running the whole country. And I believe that through all of that, God worked. He worked, and I know that there were times where Joseph probably didn't feel like God was working, but man, he was. He was at work the whole time, and he was, and it was just to come down to believing that he was at work. And I think it's interesting that he forgot his troubles and he made him fruitful even in the midst of what it was that was going on. Genesis 45:8 says, so it was that God, and this is kind of where we started, God who sent me here, it was God who sent me here, not you. That was a response that Joseph had to his brothers. He just wanted to tell his brothers, he's like, listen, what you guys did, I've forgiven you. I'm not here because of what it is that you did. I'm here because of what it is that God did in my life. And so lastly is this, remember that God sends you and he's with you. He sends you and he's with you. In all of these situations, in all of these challenges, he is sending you and he is with you. No matter how challenging, no matter how big, he's with you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. And today, Father God, I pray for everybody that's in here in this house and those that are watching online, Father, that maybe they're facing something that's challenging, something that seems like they could never overcome it. Father, we see firsthand in the life of Joseph how you worked, the things that you did. And so today, Father, as we pray and as we bring this service to a close, I pray, Father, for those that find themselves in these places, maybe controlled by something, maybe just, you know, having lost heart and lost hope. God, I just pray that they would reorient their vision back to you, not to their own abilities, not to the abilities of man, not to the idea that they have to get out of what it is that they find themselves in, but no, looking unto you. Because Father, we know today that you've sent each and every one of us. You're with us in the midst of the storm. You're with us in the midst of the problem. And you are at work at what's going on. And so I just thank you, Father, for that. I thank you that you're helping us, you're strengthening us, you're giving us godly wisdom to follow. We thank you, Father, for it. You know, we wouldn't want to take this time and not take advantage of the opportunity to offer up an opportunity for anybody that's far from God to make a decision to follow him. And so if you're here today and you don't know him or you're far from him, just say with your hand, Brian, that's me. I need help. I need you to pray with me. I want to recommit my life, or I want to be saved. And today is your day. Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. And that just tells me, yeah, I want to pray. Is there anybody in here at all that would like to pray at all? All right. Father, we just come before you today. We thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. And Lord, I just thank you for helping us all to overcome roadblocks in our lives. We thank you that you're with us, you're strengthening us, you're helping us, Father, in these last days, Father, to be people, Father, that are out doing your will, doing your work, reaching those, Father, that are far from you. Yes, reaching those that are lost, being an example to them, and sharing the love of God with them. I thank you that you're giving us all boldness to reach out into people's lives, to pray, to lay hands on the sick, to encourage, to love on. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one thing I want to encourage you guys in as we leave is something that I was talking to the staff about this week, and that is that everyone in this place has a one. What do I mean by that? I mean that when you come to church, did you know you can come to receive? And unfortunately, in this world, we are in a consumer mentality. But you know, when you come to church, you can actually be a giver of life, a giver of encouragement, a giver of prayer. You know, and one of the things that I've encouraged the staff to do is that in the times of ministry, on Wednesdays and on Sundays, and even in their own walk and even in their own personal lives as they leave, but it's looking for the one. Who's the one? And a lot of times I think we don't have our antenna up to identify that person. You know, there might be somebody that you come into contact with at church who needs prayer. There might be somebody that you comes into contact with that needs your encouragement, or maybe needs your story. And so I just encourage you in these days and weeks to come, that when you come to church, it's like, Lord, is there someone? Is there a one that I can encourage? Is there one that I can put my arm around and encourage? Is there one that I can put my arm around and pray? Is there somebody that I can grab hands with and agree with in prayer? Because I'm telling you what, guys, there is a call on all of us to do the work of the ministry. You know, it says in the word that we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that is you guys going out, working, doing, and letting your light shine. Amen? So I encourage you, look for the one, listen for the one, and be ready to move when that one shows up in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, you guys are welcome to stand up. Thank you for coming today. We didn't make monster bars at all, so you're going to have to go make your own. You know, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, I'm sure there's some of you in here thinking about, okay, what's the cookie or the brownie of dessert of choice today? There is none. But next week, Cinco de Mayo, tacos for everyone, right? It'll be a great week. You guys are dismissed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday at 7 p.m.